Ready to hear the word. You're going to be blessed today. Their bio is in our bulletin today. And our blessing is they are from this part of Texas. They have pastored in Cleburne at the church formerly known as First Assembly of God for 26 years. It was their home church. God raised them up there. They got married there and became the pastor there for 26 years. And one of their spiritual sons a year ago became the senior pastor. And so we're so blessed to have Phil and Patrice Brown. They left pastoring in Cleburne to pastor America to help us in the cause for the kingdom. Come right on, Pastor Phil and Patrice Brown.
So great to honor to be here today. And we just honor Pastor Alan, you and Pastor Yvette. We just bless you. So glad to be in your house, and thank you for opening your pulpit up to two crazy Browns from Cleburne. We're not too far away from you, but I just want to share a word that the Lord gave me. Will you bring that to me? Pastor Alan, the Lord told me to do this to you, for you guys, you and Yvette. I want you to kind of stand up for a moment, please, because the Lord told me to buy you a shovel and give to you two today. Because he's digging a new well. He's digging a new well, and the Lord said it's going to be a gusher. It's not just a well that's going to overflow for this house. I heard the Lord say it's for the region. This is an entire region. This church is named Generation for a reason. How many understand God names things on purpose? And I just want to pass this on to you, and I just want to bless you and say, steward this next move well, because you're going to need energy because it's going to be crazy. Amen, amen. God bless you. We love you guys. We love you.
All right, so we got it all planned out, and then the Holy Ghost comes and just messes it all up. So just get ready and hold on. But Yvette, I just hear the Lord say over you, as you have opened up your home for his presence, and you have stewarded that so well, he is so pleased with you. He is so pleased. I know all the mamas, all the homemakers, we know what that takes to open up your home, to have that spirit of hospitality come up on you. But you're not just opening it for men and women. You're opening it for the Lord. And when you walk in your home, you can feel the presence of Almighty God. And I just hear the Lord say that house fires, just the beginning. I believe with all my heart, as we're going to share in a little bit, our heart is for 300,000 homes of fire and light to be lit up all over America. And you are one. And in this region, house fires are going to become, you can call them prayer hubs. Begin to press into how to do it. Ask the Lord for the design. Ask the Lord for the vision. Ask the Lord for the steps. And he's going to begin to anoint you as you go into homes yourself. You're going to leave the residue, the anointing, the vision, the power, the hope, the healing. House fires, of flame all over this region in Jesus' name. Carriers of the fire of God and the light of God, the hope of God, the healing of God, and purification in Jesus' mighty name.
I'm telling you, God's getting ready to do something powerful in this house this morning. God is getting ready to ignite your fire. And if you're burning, you're getting ready to catch on fire even higher, even more. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is here. And what he's looking for is just an open vessel. Listen, he doesn't need intellect. He's wise enough. How many know God's a genius? He doesn't need your intellect. All he needs is your availability. Here I am, Lord. Send me. And that's what Patrice and I have been doing really for the last year. As Pastor Alan said, we resigned our church, and we've been involved in a movement called Her Voice. Once you say that with me, say Her Voice. Her Voice isn't just women. It's the church, but it began with women. Pastor Jenny Donnelly, our founding pastor, she had a vision to see women's voices reactivated in this season. How many understand this is an Esther and a Mordecai season that we're in? God is raising up women that can turn the heart of a nation, and we're going to talk about that. That's why one of the reasons we're here this morning, we're going to talk about your part in the kingdom of God and what God wants to do through you. And so God's using Pastor Jenny, as you're going to hear in just a minute, She's got a call to go to the Capitals, which Pastor Yvette and I know many of you are involved in. There's a sign-up sheet out there to get in the on a bus to go to the Capitol on April 13th. I want to encourage you to be a part of that. You don't want to miss history. I don't know about you, but I grew up, I'm a fourth generation Assemblies of God. My grandmas used to tell story about the good old days. You know, I'm really tired about the stories of the good old days. I want to write some good old days stories myself. And I'm tired of people sitting around and talk about, oh, yeah, you remember when God did that? You remember when God did that? You remember when God did? What about him doing something new and fresh now in our lives? Well, you know, the only thing that's hindering it is you and I. And so I want you to watch this video real quick. It's Pastor Jenny, and she tells a story about the passion and what God did in her life. So watch this story. Watch this video for a couple of minutes.
In 2021, my hometown of Portland, Oregon was being destroyed. Churches and businesses shut down. Children and families were required to cover their mouths, and no one could go into the city after 5 p.m. because it was too dangerous. This violence raged in our city for over 180 days straight. It was as if we were waiting for evil just to give up. But this isn't how it works. The Bible says in Genesis 1:28 that we are to fill the earth and govern it. Evil will take up the space that we, who know God, choose not to fill. In the midst of feeling rather overwhelmed by the decay of the nation, I asked God to put me in the fight. And then I asked this important question, what is it going to take, God, for the church to stand up and fight for what is right? And here's what he said, when they take your kids. I was totally riveted by this. It rocked me to my core. I didn't know then what he was referring to, but I do now. 1 in 5 Gen Z self-identify as LGBTQ. There are states right now that are proposing laws to legalize kidnapping when parents refuse to affirm their child's gender transition. History tells us that when evil leaders want to control a nation, they go after our kids. It's time for us to awaken and take our place on this battlefield for revival and reformation in our nation. The arrows of the enemy are aimed at your children, your grandchildren, and the young ones who will carry the leaders of our nation. Don't mess with our kids.
In 1997, an extraordinary event took place. 1.25 million men, promise keepers, gathered to the mall in Washington, D.C. to pray for this nation. That on September 2nd, the year 2000, 450,000 young people primarily gathered to fast and pray for 12 hours. Out of promise keepers came this movement called The Call. And for 24 years, there have been gatherings in stadiums and arenas across the nation and in the nations of the earth that I believe has been mounting up a prayer storm that maybe now we will begin to see the answer to those cries. And then 2017, I had a dream. And in that dream, as far and wide as I could see, women were coming everywhere to hear the book of Esther be taught. I'm the only man in that crowd with my assistant. He gives me an old Bible. It's the call of Mordecai to mobilize what I'm looking at. The movement was filled with a sense of revival. And in the dream, a woman stands up and she says these two words in the book of Esther actually mean Nazgul. I exploded out of the dream, instantly knowing what it meant, because I watched the third part of The Lord of the Rings, where the Nazgul Witch King is destroying the armies of men, and he says, no man can kill me. But the king's daughter takes off her helmet, lets her hair down, and says, I am no man. And she pierces the Nazgul Witch King. I wake up, and I know the Lord is saying, there is coming a righteous women's movement that is going to gain authority in America over principalities and powers, ideologies that are seeking to destroy the children of this nation. Then I begin to hear of this Her Voice movement, the woman named Jenny Darnley, and she was hearing about what I was calling for. And we joined together in 2022. We began dreaming about 1 million women on the mall in DC. The movement was initiated. And now we have come to 2024, and we're calling a million women to the mall in D.C. to finish what was started. Esther was raised up at a time that if there wasn't a shift, they would lose a whole nation. We're calling every man in Mordecai, every woman in Esther, come to the mall on the Day of Atonement and dare to believe that God will shift history, save a nation, as we pray, fast, and stand on behalf of the children, your families, and your nation. So on this Day of Atonement, where the blood of Jesus is applied to the doorposts of our national guilt, you've come to the defining moment just like Esther was brought to a defining moment. Will you be there? And you'll say to your children and your grandchildren, we were there when God gathered the Esthers and saved a nation. Don't miss this defining moment. For such a time as this, you've been brought into the kingdom.
As you can see, Pastor Jenny has been shifted during the pandemic by the heart of God and is moved to action. And that is really what we're here today, to hopefully move you to take action. We have, as the church, we have set back and we have stayed within our palace, as you will, as Esther did, and it's time to take a stand. So our kids are in crisis. Our kids are in crisis. The enemy is coming after my kids, my grandkids, your grandkids. And the attack on our kids has gone too far. There's the LGBTQ indoctrination, pornography, the elimination of parental rights, abortion, pandemics, the fentanyl crisis, human trafficking, and on and on and on and on. And it's time for us to take a stand. I want to talk specifically for just a minute about the LGBTQ community and what's happening there. So one in three Gen Zers self-identify as LGBTQ. When we began moving out with Pastor Jenny in this movement, actually when she shot that video in September, we were in Washington, D.C., and the stat was one in five. So from September to the end of February when we got a new stat, it's now one in three. We're in trouble. This movement is radical. And let me just say this. No one loves this community more than me and my husband. We resigned our church in March of last year, and we began, I say it like this, we began to follow the fire and the cloud. We didn't know what we're doing. We just knew that God had asked us to step down, and it's probably the hardest thing I've ever had to do in my life. Because I knew with all of my heart that God has revival at 710 West Kilpatrick in Cleburne, Texas, for that community. But God began to deal with my heart. And this is even hard. I think this is the first time I've shared this publicly. I've shared this with some individuals. But I heard the Lord tell me, I've called you not just to save your city, because I believe with all my heart that God's going to do that. But he said, I've called you and Phil to help save a nation. And that took me aback, because I'm just like, we're just little old Phil and Patrice from nowhere in Texas. But God has burdened our hearts for what is happening in America. And he has given us three spiritual daughters that have come out of a lesbian lifestyle that we are mothering, we are fathering. And it has been the hardest thing that I have ever done in my life, but it's been the most rewarding thing that I have ever done in my life. I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus died for the LGBTQ community, and the church better catch up with what the Lord is doing, because God is super serious about sending his one and only son that none should perish. That includes the LGBTQ community, that none should perish. None. He bankrupted heaven for them. And I believe with all of my heart, We're standing with Lou Engle. You'll see a video of him. But he is one that has really stood for Roe versus Wade to be overturned in America. How many of you are grateful for that? He or someone in his ministry took communion daily at the Supreme Court steps for 18 years faithfully to see that thing overturned. And we've seen that. We still have a lot of work to do state by state. We know that. But Lou is in his mid-70s, and he said, I believe probably my last call is going to call 100,000 LGBTQ men and women to see revival and to burn with revival. And I am believing that. Phil and I are standing with him in that, and we're going to do our part to see that happen. But it's almost, this is like an epidemic in America with these Gen Zers and even some Gen Alpha. It's like the in vogue. It's like the new thing. It's like the trend. And these kids do not even realize what they're saying over themselves to walk into alignment with being trans or lesbian or gay. Kaylee, go ahead and put that next slide up. So you may not can see this very well, but this is a third grade vocabulary assignment. And I don't know about you, but those of you that are my age, maybe a little bit younger, a little bit older, this is not the America I grew up in. I do not recognize this America. This is like no third grade vocabulary assignment that I ever had to do. Basically, this third grader and this third grade class is having to learn vocabulary words like pansexual, non-binary, binary. I don't even know those words. They're coming after our kids. This is a hard slide to look at, but this is talking about pornography in our libraries of our schools. And in that next slide, you'll see a young sixth grader who brought the book on the right home. His dad, thank the Lord, found it in his backpack, Nick and Charlie. It's basically talking about a sexual encounter between two middle school boys. When he checked it out, the librarian said, there's a more explicit version if you would like it. We're in trouble. We're at a 911 in America, church. What we're doing is not working. We must do something different. And you know, he's actually tried to read part of this at a school board meeting, a public school board meeting in his city. And, of course, they shut him down because they didn't want him to say the words and to say the things that were on the pages of that book. But yet it's fine for him to read it at home. But the adults in the room didn't want to hear about it. And while I applaud his bravery, this needs to be a mama bear standing up here going to bat for their kids, or a grandmama bear, or a dad, or a grandpa. Our kids are taking hits. Our kids are exposed. Our kids are in the firing line of the enemy, and we must stand and say, no more. No more. Look at this quote from Hitler. And I know this seems crazy and far-fetched, but this, what is happening in America is calculated, it is planned, and it is real. He said, when an opponent declares, I will not come over to your side, I calmly say, your child belongs to us already. What are you? You will pass on. Your descendants, however, now stand in the new camp. In a short time, they will know nothing else but this new community. And this is where we're at. Gen Alpha, Gen Z, this is the only America they know. They don't know what it was like to be in a public school setting and to put your hand over your heart and to stand up respectfully and to say the Pledge of Allegiance. They sure don't know what it's like to have prayer in the public school system. I remember that. I was young, but I remember that. How many of you remember that? Our kids don't know that. Our grandkids don't know that because we've made it illegal. We've let it become illegal. We are at a crisis in this nation, and we must do something different. Esther thought she was safe inside the palace walls, and Mordecai came to her and he said, if you do not take a stand, This is Esther 4, 13 and 14. If you don't take a stand, deliverance is going to come. God's going to hear our cry. It's going to come from somewhere. I don't know where, but he's going to do it because he's our God. But if you don't take a stand, you and your father's household will surely die. In other words, he's telling, don't think you're safe just because you're in this palace. Once he figures out you're a Jew, it's over. We cannot stay in the four walls of the church. And this is what we're doing. We are mobilizing to take a stand. On April 13th, we are going to worship, we are going to pray, we are going to repent, and we are going to take communion. And the amazing thing about this, before I kick it back to Phil, is that this is happening in all 50 states in America on the same day. To our knowledge, this has never been done in the history of our country, as well as DC. So at 1 p.m. Eastern time, the Eastern Seaboard is going to start to pray, repent, have a communion, and worship. They're going to be in at about an hour in Central Time Zone. That's us, Texas. We're going to be in Austin, and we're going to start worshiping. We're going to pray. We're going to repent, and we're going to take communion. Then we're going to be into it about an hour, and Mountain Time is going to join us, and they're going to pray, repent, take communion, and worship. And then we'll end. They'll continue, and then Pacific Time will begin to worship and pray and take communion and repent. And then as they are in it an hour, Hawaii and Alaska are going to be to pray and repent and take communion and worship. And I'm telling you, we are going to see a shift. I believe with all my heart that we, as Christian believers especially, are going to feel a shift, a change in the atmosphere as we repent to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's the church's fault that we are in the place that we're in. It's not the sinner's fault. They're being sinners. We are called to be the salt and the light. We are called to carry the fire of the Holy Ghost out of these doors and into our communities. So I implore you, get back there after we're done and sign up. Send Miss Yvette $45 through Zelle, check, or cash, and come with us on April 13th to the state capitals. It's going to be epic, and I believe with all of my heart that the Lord is going to hear our cries. Watch this video as Phil comes back up. Sorry, we're not, I forgot. I got so hyped up on all that. Okay, so what we're doing, don't mess with our kids. This is a video of what they did in Peru, and this is kind of where we got the idea. And I'll be talking later in the service about the Day of Atonement in October. We are planning 1 million women and their families to march on the mall in D.C. And so they plan, much like we are doing that, they planned a day in Peru to come out of their homes because they just had it with the LGBTQ agenda. It was that they could be put in jail for using the wrong pronouns. It was crazy. And there was such a groundswell of people that responded to this call. They actually began to move out in action earlier than they had even planned. They were able to oust their prime minister and oust their minister of education. And not only that, George Soros took his money and left the country of Peru. Because he figured out, I can't buy off politicians any longer. My money's not going to do anything here because these crazy Christians have taken control. And that's exactly what we need to see happen here. And because it was so amazing, you saw all the countries that begin to follow suit in South America. You saw Paraguay and Francia, all those countries begin to follow suit. And it was an amazing, amazing thing that they did. And all Christian Rosas, this young man, he was 25 years old when he did this. Anybody here in their 20s? I know Kaylee is. Anybody else? God has his hand on the millennials. God has his hands on Gen Z. There's a reason that the enemy is going so hardcore after you guys, because you're awesome. If there's a 20-year-old around you, look at them and say, you're awesome. If there's a Gen Z or teenager, look at them and tell them they're awesome. And I'm going to implore you, Generations Church, you take the youth of this church and you tell them you can do this. You're like Esther, you were put on the planet for such a time as this. There's an anointing upon you for your generation to see them turn back to God. You got this. You got this. Give them a high five. I'm giving you a high five in the spirit. So this is our flag. Don't mess with our kids. On the left, blue, because God created male. And on the right, pink, because God created female. That's it. Two genders. There's no other choices. That's what we're proclaiming in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. So you'll see this next slide actually out in the Oops, here we forgot that one. So I'm trying to shorten this program. I have a 45-minute program that I do, and I'm shortening it. So sorry. So these are our colors, pink and blue. On the left, you'll see we have our flags. They're in the middle. We have some small flags, some big flags. You can get those at hervoicemvmt.com. But the Pride community, we are learning lessons from. We have some friends that were in Austin in early February. They're putting through legislation to make sure that our kids are safe. And they had about 200 that they were with, and he told us, they're associate pastors, and he said, we were so proud. We had 200. We're coming out to stand. And he said when they pulled up to the state capitol, he said his countenance just dropped. He said it was bus after bus after bus after bus after bus after bus of LGBTQ pride flag wavers coming to stand against the legislation. I'm telling you, the LGBTQ community, we love them, but they are active. They are well-funded. They've got their act together. They are organized. They are on mission. And we, the church, are not. And it is time for us to change that and get our act together. And I love this scripture in Jeremiah 50, verse 2. It says, give it out among the nations, make it public, and let the flag be lifted up. Give the word and keep nothing back. And I'm telling you, it is time for us to get a flag, whether it be the Christian flag or the Don't Mess With Our Kids flags, but it is time for us to get the flag out and to give the word and to make it public and to hold nothing back. I want my kids and my grandkids during this time in history when they say, Grandma, what did you do? I want to be able to say, you know what? I began to rally men and women all over my area, and I shifted and helped them mobilize to go to our state capitol to stand for what we believe in, to stand upon the word of God, and to stand for what is right and true. And then we went and we did this amazing gathering in Washington, D.C. on the wall like none has never seen since 1997 when a group of men called Promise Keepers did it. 1.4 million men. This is women and their families. We need the Esthers. We need the Mordecais. And we're so excited that we are a part. And I hope that you will be a part of us too. And now let's roll that video about the state capitol gathering. Thank you.
Back the power of the Holy Spirit.
Intoxicated with unbroken
we need right now is for mama bears to rise up and step into their nest of calling.
Be proud and pray to God who made us.
The church needs to wake up.
It behooves us, then, to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness.
We must turn back to God.
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 We must turn back.
This is what we're believing for. We're believing that America can be turned back to God if you will do your part. See, for too long we've sat in our pews and we've let the pastor and the staff and the leadership do what God has called every single one of us to do. Take his presence, take the light off the shelf and out into the world. That's what we're all called to do. And I want to challenge you this morning just to step up and step out. Because I believe God is waiting on you and he's wanting to mold you as his beloved son, as his beloved son and daughter in this season to carry his love and grace into a dark, messed up world. Listen, I don't know if you realize it or not. We're in a crisis. We're in a 9-11, 11-59-59. And I want to say this. Patrice and I are traveling all over America, and I'm telling you, it's sad, but it seems like the church doesn't know what's going on because we're in our little ivory towers. We come and we meet together on Sunday morning, and we're content, and God does some things. But I'm telling you, what God wants to do is more than revival. And I believe today there's going to be a fire released in your life. I believe the Holy Spirit, if you want to, is just going to ignite something in you that's going to burn crazy in this season. I believe God can touch you in such a way that you can transform this region, that you can change Grand Barren, Texas for the goodness and glory of God. Listen, he's just looking for one person. He's looking for somebody. So why don't you be the somebody? I want you to grab your Bibles. I want to just share with you. And then Patrice is going to come back, and she's just going to share another thing that we're doing in the national capital. Because listen, many times there's a subtle shift between God's will and my will. Do you know that? See, the shift in commitment is never from Christ to evil. It's always from Christ to self. Because see, the devil knows that if he can get you to look to self, then he can deceive you. He knows you're wise enough and smart enough not to focus on him. And that's why he makes the subtle shift. He never asks his servants to serve him. He asks them to be servants of self rather than God. In the garden, listen, you know what he did? He told Eve, you'll be happier, you'll be smarter, you'll be wiser, you'll be more successful if you do it your way rather than God's way. And that's the same thing he's doing today in the church. He's getting us to shift our attention off of the Creator, off of God's presence, because church is not about you. Church is not about me. Church is not about the platform. Church is not about the preaching of the word. Church is not about worship. Church is about him. Now, all those things are encompassed in church, but it is not about those things. It is about him. Have we lost our passion for him? So Jesus comes along, and I love this in Luke chapter 5. Did I tell you where to go? I didn't tell you where to go. Sorry. Luke 5, verse 36 through 39. This is a parable that Jesus teaches that we've heard a lot in the church. I know Pastor Allen is an incredible Bible teacher. And Jesus speaks a parable that I believe we are living out right now in this current day and age. He says this in Luke chapter 5, verse 36 to 39. He says, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins. He said, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskin will be ruined. He said, but new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. Everybody say both. And no one having drunk old wine immediately desires new, for he says the old is better. See, this is a lesson Jesus is showing us here. Wine is the symbol of the Holy Spirit or the presence of God. And it's an indication of transformation. We have people who are going to church, but they're not being transformed. Because the gospel is not sitting in a pew. It's being transformed by the presence of God. You can't change you without his help. And Jesus is simply saying, the process of making new wine is breaking down the whole into parts and then integrating all of these parts into a new whole. Jesus says this, but new wine or transformation must be. Everybody say must be. He's saying there's no way around this. He said, if you want the new that I'm doing, if you want the new wine, then you must have a new wineskin. And let me clarify something here, because I've been in the moves of God. I love, Patricia and I, we're revival junkies. Man, we pursued every move of God. We've been a part of the Toronto blessing. We've been part of the Brownsville blessing. We've been part of the Rodney Howard Brown. We've been part of the move of God because we love the presence of God. But let me be clear here. God isn't saying that the old is bad. Because what happens when the new comes, we look at the past and say, oh, you don't got what I got. I got something. That's not what he's saying here. He's not saying the old is bad, because he says those who drank old wine don't want the new. And I don't know about you. I'm not a wine drinker, but they say old wine tastes a lot better than new wine. So this isn't what Jesus is saying here. What is he saying then? He's saying, if you want to be a part of a new move that I'm doing, then you're going to have to get a new wineskin. And in order to get a new wineskin, something, a part of your life, must be laid upon the altar of prayer, and you must sacrifice it on the altar of prayer. You have got to get in your prayer closet, and you're going to have to die a little bit to the old thinking, the old way of doing it, the old mindsets, the old beliefs, the old transition, the old. And let me tell you, the old is good, I understand. And Jesus isn't saying the old is bad. He's just saying, if you want the new, it's going to take something new happening on the inside of you. Because if you understand this process that Jesus is talking about, a new wineskin, there had to be a death of a goat or a death of a sheep to create the skin. Because see, the old skin, the old wineskin already went through the process. There's some of you, you've already gone through the process. You've been a part of the move of God, and I applaud you. I am grateful for you. I say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for being forerunners and encouraging this generation on. But can I also tell you, there's a new move. Don't get left out in the new move because you like the old. And Jesus gave us this illustration when he turned the water into wine. Do you remember? He took water and made wine, and he brought it to the headsman of the ceremony. And he drank, and he says, wow, you saved the best, what, for last. Because see, the old tastes better unless Jesus is in it. And when you bring the Holy Spirit in it, I'm telling you, the new is so good. But what he's saying is there's going to be a stretching. That's what happened when they put the wine, the fermented wine or the grapes, they crushed it and they put it in the wineskin. It would ferment. It would create these gas called the must, and it would stretch the skin. And he's simply saying, your old skin is not flexible enough to handle the new move that I'm doing. And God's simply saying, if we're going to embrace the new, because you don't have to embrace the new, you can still drink the old wine. But I don't know about you, but I want the new wine. Because when Jesus gets in it, the new wine is really better than the old wine. And thank God for the old wine. He's simply saying, there's a new way I'm doing it. I'm stretching you. I'm taking you out of your comfort zone. I'm renewing your mind. I want you to look at things like you've never looked at before. This is Patrice and I's story for the last year. Our family, some of them think we're crazy. And honestly, if you're going to serve Jesus, you're going to be a little crazy. Like, what are you guys doing? Well, we don't know. What do you mean you don't know? We don't know. We're just following the cloud and we're just following the fire. God says, go here. Listen, last week we came back from Naples, Florida, and it was one of Her Voice rally, and we didn't have the finances to go. So, Lord, we really would love to go. In our heart, Lord, we would love to go there. We didn't go. A week before the conference, a friend messaged us and said, hey, me and my wife, we just felt like we want to send you money to go to that conference. Boom, here we are. Patrice and I jumped in her car, and we headed to Florida. See, that's what God's doing in this season. Is that flexible? Yeah, because I don't know about you, man, I love to have things planned out sometimes. I love to know what I'm doing ahead of time so I can kind of prepare, you know, and do some things. But that's not what God's doing in this season. He's creating a new wineskin in us. He's saying you're going to have to be flexible because I'm going to move you here and move you there, and you're going to go here, you're going to go there. But if you're stuck in the old way, Phil, that I did it, you're not going to be participating in the new move. He says something in you is going to have to die. Because, you know, you can't get new skins from a goat unless a goat is killed. And let me just tell you, the last year, I would love to tell you how pleasant it's always been, how wonderful it's always been. But here's the truth. People will never applaud your sacrifice, but they will applaud the fruit that it brings. And that's what we're after. We're after the fruit of heaven so that when we get around people, we can deposit seeds within them. But I'm here to tell you, Her Voice movement and the movement that God's doing a movement with women and Esthers in this season. Matter of fact, an apostle friend of mine who's just an incredible man of God. Patrice and I call him for counsel a lot. He's just a man of God. He said this to us recently. He said, God told him, if you do not support your wife's ministry and what I'm doing in her in this season, I will not bless your ministry. Why was that? Because for whatever reason, God chose in this season, in this time of history, God has chosen the Esthers to step up. But let me tell you, there's no Esthers without a Mordecai. There have got to be men that'll say, come on, I'm encouraging. You can do this, babe. You can do this. Come on, I'm going to push you out. I'm going to pray over you. I'm going to cover you. But you can do what God's calling you to do, because there's something about a woman. There's something about a mama bear just getting a little fed up with it. And it's time that we get a little fed up with what's going on with our kids. All right.
I love what Pastor Jenny Donnelly says in this season, because I'm telling you, we believe in a covering. We believe in the headship and the authority that God has set up in the homes. And ladies, if you're single or unmarried or single again, then you're under the authority of your pastor. We believe in that. This is not a women's live movement whatsoever. It is the antithesis of that. But Pastor Jenny says, in this season, the women are the arrows and the men are the bows shooting us out in this season. And that's what we believe. So as I alluded to earlier, we are believing for 1 million women and their families, because we believe, like in the book of Esther, a nation can be saved in a day. I believe that with all of my heart. Every time I see Pastor Jenny, I try to look at her and say, we're doing this. This is going to happen. God is going to meet us, and our nation is going to be saved. So we have another video for you to watch, and it's really just kind of telling about the movement, and you'll see Papa Lou Engle in it. He led a ministry called The Call, which was really calling youth for prayer and fasting to see a move of God in the youth, as well as seeing abortion end. So you'll see him in this video as in 2017, God gave a call for Esther's to arise, and then Pastor Jenny had the same call, and the two of them met divinely and were merging together, and this is what is happening.
In 1997, an extraordinary event took place. 1.25 million men, promise keepers, gathered to the mall in Washington, D.C. to pray for this nation. That on September 2nd, the year 2000, 450,000 young people primarily gathered to fast and pray for 12 hours. Out of promise keepers came this movement called The Call, and for 24 years, there have been gatherings in stadiums and arenas across the nation and in the nations of the earth that I believe has been mounting up a prayer storm that maybe now we will begin to see the answer to those cries. And then 2017, I had a dream, and in that dream, as far and wide as I could see, women were coming everywhere to hear the book of Esther be taught. I'm the only man in that crowd with my assistant. He gives me an old Bible. It's the call of Mordecai to mobilize what I'm looking at. The movement was filled with a sense of revival. And in the dream, a woman stands up and she says these two words in the book of Esther actually mean Nazgul. I exploded out of the dream, instantly knowing what it meant, because I watched the third part of The Lord of the Rings, where the Nazgul Witch King is destroying the armies of men, and he says, no man can kill me. But the king's daughter takes off her helmet, lets her hair down, and says, I am no man. And she pierces the Nazgul Witch King. I wake up, and I know the Lord is saying, there is coming a righteous women's movement that is going to gain authority in America over principalities and powers, ideologies that are seeking to destroy the children of this nation. Then I begin to hear of this Her Voice movement, the woman named Jenny Darnley, and she was hearing about what I was calling for. And we joined together in 2022. We began dreaming about 1 million women on the mall in DC. The movement was initiated. And now we have come to 2024, and we're calling 1 million women to the mall in D.C. to finish what was started. Esther was raised up at a time that if there wasn't a shift, they would lose a whole nation. We're calling every man of Mordecai, every woman in Esther, come to the mall on the Day of Atonement and dare to believe that God will shift history, save a nation, as we pray, fast, and stand on behalf of the children, your families, and your nation. So on this Day of Atonement, where the blood of Jesus is applied to the doorposts of our national guilt, you've come to the defining moment, just like Esther was brought to a defining moment. Will you be there? And you'll say to your children and your grandchildren, we were there when God gathered the Esthers and saved a nation. Don't miss this defining moment. For such a time as this, you've been brought into the kingdom.
If you haven't figured it out, that is the Day of Atonement that we're asking every single person to come, men and women, to stand before God on the Day of Atonement. We're believing for God in one moment, just like in Esther. If you haven't read it, go to the book of Esther, read the story. In one moment, Esther shifted the whole nation and saved a nation for God. Do you understand the power of this moment that we're in? Church, do you understand the power of this moment that we're in? I don't know about you, but you can watch TV, you can see the news and the media, and you can get depressed and you can get discouraged. But again, I want to tell you, Patrice and I are traveling all over the United States, and there's a swell, there's a groundswell of people that are saying, we are going to reach, America will be saved for Jesus. Now, I want to tell you, I don't believe it's going to be an easy thing. I believe we are headed for some turbulent times. Buckle your seatbelt. It's going to be good. Buckle your seatbelt. It's going to be good. God's got the flight. It's going to be okay. We're going to land. Everything is going to be all right. But listen, it all begins with you and I doing our part. It's more than just praying. Listen, I believe we've had a praying church, but it's more than praying. We got to fast. I'm ashamed to say this. Patricia and I are in our 50-something. And I'm ashamed to say this. This last year and a half, we've fasted more, I think, in the last year and a half than I have my entire life before. And our church would go on 21-day fast every year like you guys probably do. But there's something about praying, fasting, but then we have to stand. God wants to raise up reformers. They're going to go into the education system. You know the seven mountains that Lance Wallnau taught. We're going to go into the media. We're going to go into the political arena. We're going to go into our families, entertainment. We're going to take back what we lost because we did not stand. We were comfortable in our little group, our little buddy system. And I'm just as guilty as you are, but I'm thankful that God has woken Patrice and I up. And let me just tell you my story as I close here today. I want to tell you about how I was provoked. Because I'm telling you, some of you here today, you need some righteous provoking. You need someone to provoke you in a good way. Because, you know, we see people and they're passionate and they think, oh, man, what's wrong with you? You're a little out there. You're a little crazy. Well, you're a little passionate. Listen, all of us ought to be passionate. Why? It's not sensationalism. We are passionate because the King is worthy of our passion. He's worthy of our best. And maybe we think, or maybe some people think, well, you know, just calm down a little bit. Don't, because I'm a crybaby. I'll just tell you that. I'm a weeper. When I get in the presence of God, I cannot, I'm just going to tell on myself. I was praying about 6 months ago, and I said, God, I'm really tired of, every time I get in your presence, I cry. I'm really tired of being a crybaby. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, said, you want me to shut off your emotions? Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. No. I will cry. I will embarrass myself. I don't care. God, when I get in your presence, I just want you. I want you. I want you. But it wasn't always that way. Because, see, sometimes when people are passionate, we kind of get on them. You know why that is? Because they're hitting a trigger in our heart. We're not passionate. We're not passionate for God. They're provoking us. And listen, when God provokes you, he doesn't point out your lack of passion because he's mad at you. He's angry at you. He's pointing out your passion so he can provoke you to get passionate. Because what God heals or reveals, he's always willing to heal. So back in COVID, how many remember COVID almost 4 years ago? I was provoked by my wife. I would walk into the front room and here she was on the couch. There would be a pile of Kleenexes beside it. And she'd just be weeping as she's crying out for God. God, I need more of you. God, I want more of you. God, I need more of you. God, I need you in my life. And the first time I did that, I remember it was like I bumped into something. It was like hitting a physical wall. And it was God's presence. And I tiptoed back out thinking, oh, that's sweet. That's sweet. The next day, the same thing. I walked in and there she is on the couch. There's a pile of Kleenex. She's just crying out for God, pouring her heart out to God. God, I need more of you. God, do something to me. Cleanse me. Heal me. God, do whatever you want to me. And boom, I hit that wall again and I kind of tiptoed back out and think, oh, that's cute. That's cute. Then the third time, bam, I start tiptoeing back out and all of a sudden, I... because us guys can be hard-headed sometimes. All of a sudden, the conviction of God hit me. You've lost your hunger. Get hungry. Because there's something about, church, the manifested presence of God. We know God is everywhere. That's His omnipresent. We know God is with us. He lives inside of us. We know those things. But there's something about the manifested presence of God that is so powerful. You see, on the day of Pentecost, there was 120 gathered in the upper room. The presence of God was all over Jerusalem. That's the omnipresence of God. He was all over Jerusalem. But He only manifested Himself to 120 people in an upper room. Why? Because they were hungry. They were saying, God, we know You're in heaven and You're telling us to wait. We don't know how to do this, but here we are, God. We're just being obedient to You. Come, Holy Spirit. Like Jesus said, we don't even know what the Holy Spirit is, but here we are. Come. And then whammo, the presence of God fell on the place because people were hungry. Didn't have anything to do with their pedigree. It didn't have anything to do with their upbringing. It had everything to do with their hunger for God. Listen to me. You and you alone set the level of your hunger for God. God does not set your hunger level. You set your hunger level. Because see, hunger moves the heart of God like faith moves the heart of God. There's something about hungry people. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Filled with what? His manifested presence. Because I don't know about you, but I just don't want His omnipresence. I don't want just His dwelling presence where He's blessing my house, He's on my home. I want His manifested presence. I want to carry the presence of God. And that happens when we get hungry. When you get hungry. Because listen, picky people don't eat. We have too many picky people in the church. And they're not feasting on the presence of God because they're so picky. Well, that's not like I like. Well, this is like this. Like, just I'm just telling you, come and say, Lord, whatever You lay out, I'm hungry. God, whatever You set before me, I'm going to eat. God, whatever You put here, I'm going to feast on You. And I promise you, He's not going to give you a bologna sandwich. He's going to give you fresh manna from heaven. He's going to give you food that sustains and satisfies you in your life. So as I was backing out of that room, I said, okay, God, I want to get hungry too. Help me to get hungry. Because see, it wasn't that there was some gross sin in my life. It's just the busyness of life. We don't let Jesus be the main thing. And you know, Jesus, church, God is not a slice of the pie of your life. Well, I got my church side, I got my business side, I got my home side, I've got my entertainment side. No, He's the whole pie or He's not even in the pie. He says, I'm worthy of everything or I don't want anything. But listen, when you give Him everything, you get everything. It's a great exchange. I get more than I ever give. But the devil deceives us in thinking, well, if you give that, you're going to lose something. No, you never lose anything except something that is not of value. So I begin going into my room and just crying out to God, God, I need You. God, I need You. Lord, stir up a hunger, stir up a fresh hunger in me. And I had an encounter with God in my bedroom that's changing my life, that's changed my life forever. It's taken Patrice and I on a different trajectory in our life. If you would have told us even a year ago that we'd be doing this, I would say, no, I'm a pastor. I'm going to stay where I'm at. I'm going to retire here. I'm going to die here. This is where we're forever going to be. And we'll be kind of the papa of the house. We'll still be in the house, but God says, no, I have a different plan for you, son. But listen, I'm telling you, it began with such a hunger in my heart for the presence of God. And I believe today, God's setting before us the bread of His presence. Can you smell that? Because see, there's something about physical hunger and spiritual hunger that are totally the opposite. Physical hunger, I eat, and what? I'm satisfied. Not so spiritual hunger. God, I'm hungry. I eat. And I'm like, oh, God, I want more of you. And can I tell you, Patrice and I are more hungry today for the things of God than we were 4 years ago when God touches. There is such a hunger in my heart for the deeper things of God. There is always more. And I'm telling you, you may have great, but I want to tell you, there's more than you've yet experienced. There's more than you've yet entered into. There's more, and there's more. But you'll never get there until you start getting so hungry. And hunger is really a desperation. I got desperate. I'm saying, Lord, you're touching Patrice in there. Why are you touching me? He says, well, since you ask, let's deal with some stuff, son. So he began dealing with some of my attitudes. And what happened? I began having a pile of Kleenex beside my bed. Began piling up until the moment that God came down and touched me, said, bam. Had an encounter with him that's changed my life forever. And it all began with a hunger. And you can really say hunger is really a desperation. I don't know about you, church, but I don't know if you realize it, how desperate we are in America for a move of God. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, but we have to have a move of God. It is no longer an option. Well, we kind of can. No. If we do not have a move of God, we're going under this year. I'm telling you, if it doesn't begin this year, America is lost forever. Do you hear me? I'm not trying to say that to scare you. I'm simply telling you the truth. If we as a church do not have a move of God right now, today, we are lost forever. America, by what I'm saying. We need a move of the Holy Spirit, and it begins in you, and it begins in me. If you would have thought Patrice and I in our 50s, I'm 58. I don't say what her age is. But if you would have told me we were going to be mothering and fathering the LGBT community, I would have laughed at you. Ha ha, right, you're funny. But God has given us such a heart for that community. And we're finding out, God's sending us families. They're saying our daughter came out, our son came out, and we don't know what to do. We don't know how to tell our church because we're afraid if we tell our church, they're going to kick us out. And we're just, man, loving on them, saying, here's what God's, we're not the expert in this. We feel like we're going by sight and sound. I don't know, we feel like we don't even know what we're doing. But we'll just say this, do this. And God's just beginning to work in their family. God's beginning to heal their families. And I'm telling you, it begins with you and I getting a hunger for God. Let me ask you a question. I'm closed. I'm done. How hungry are you for a move of God in Generations Church? How hungry are you? Can you smell the bread of heaven cooking? God's cooking some bread this morning. I brought a bread machine a while back, and we cook our own bread. And there's nothing like walking in the house and you smell that bread cooking. Oh, that bread, it fills the whole house. I'm telling you, the aroma of heaven right now is wanting to fill this house. I'm telling you, the aroma of heaven is filling this house. Come on, will you just lift your hands? Will you just lift your hands and begin crying out for God? God, we need more of you. I know there's a lunch. I know there's a dinner. Come on, we can still do this and that at the same time. Come on, but this is more important. Father, we're here. We need a touch from heaven. God, stir us up, stir us up, stir us up. God, stir the young up, the old up. God, stir every single one of us. We need every single saint. We need every believer in this army called heaven. God, you need need every single one of us here. It's going to take all of us to reach this generation, this city, this region, God. The generation church is called to reach. And Lord, we thank you. We're asking you to stir us up supernaturally this morning, God. Deposit something in us. Do in me and do in them what you did in me and Patrice, God, where you just put a hunger, a desperation in us, and we begin crying out for you, and something shifted over our lives. Something shifted and changed over the atmosphere of our lives, God. Jesus, stir us up as we see the desperation of our nation, God. If we, the ones who have the answer, do not bring them the answer in the marketplace, what good are we? We've lost our saltiness, and it's nothing. You said it's no good but to be thrown out. God, we don't want to be thrown out. God, we want to be a preservative, that we preserve our school systems. We preserve our business arena. God, we preserve the politician, the political arena. God, we're preservatives. We're to transform. But in order to do that, we've got to be transformed ourselves. It's going to take a new skin. Lord, kill. Come on, right now. I just hear the Lord saying there's some secrets you've got between you and God. Come on, right now. You need to confess those to him. Come on, will you get him out? Will you get him out? Say, Lord, you know this. He's not condemning you. He's not beating you up. But he says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Father, we confess our pride. Come on, will you confess your pride? Father, we confess that we believe we had it all together. We believe kind of that we've arrived, that we've kind of seen it all, heard it all. And Lord, we just lost our desperation. We've lost our hunger for you. God, stir, breathe. It's that song we sung. Let it be today the wind of the Holy Spirit blowing in this place. Come on, let him blow on you. Come on, just an ember. Come on, he's going to blow it to fire. Come on, there's going to be a raging fire that's going to come out of this place. God, we just decree reformers are coming out of this place. We decree those who are going to shift the atmosphere of businesses. Those are going to shift the atmosphere of their education system. Those are going to shift the atmosphere, God, of the business community, the homes. God, we just thank you, God, for reformers being raised up, that we're no longer going to be contained to just these four walls. Lord, let the wind of your Holy Spirit blow. Come on, just a few more minutes. God is never in a hurry. If you're in a hurry, I'm sorry. The Bible doesn't say hurry up. It says wait upon the Lord. I'm telling you, God is wanting to do something powerful right now. If you'll just give him time, make room for him, make room for him. So, Father, we just make room for you. Lord, we don't just make room for you. We give you the whole room today. God, we give you the room. Take the room, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, we're just waiting on him. We're just waiting on him.
Love this place.
Jesus.
Lift up. We just need your presence, creating me a hunger, Lord, like I've never experienced before. You said those that hunger and thirst will be filled. Come fill us, Lord, sweet Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
We need you.
We need you.
We repent of our prideful ways and we say we need you. America needs you. I need you. My family needs you. My church needs you. My community needs you, Lord. My friends and family need you. Come fill us, Lord. More of you, Lord. Less of me.
Lord, we recognize that revival is an experience, but it's more than an experience. It's changed lives. Lord, change our lives. Help us to lay down our pettiness. Help us to lay down our offenses. Help us to let it go. Just let it go. Lord, may we embrace you. Lord, may we make you first and last in our life, both, Lord, the beginning of the day and the ending of the day. Lord, may we remember you and seek you as we pursue doing your will. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. We just show some love to Phil and Patrice. Thank you so much. We're talking about a lifestyle. Lifestyle that makes room for God, that seeks him. Seek first his kingdom and all the other things fall into order. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Go get him, Tigers.